Student loan borrowers in the U.S. collectively hold over $1.7 trillion in debt. That's according to the Federal Reserve. Last week, President Biden told reporters at a press conference that he's exploring some amount of student loan forgiveness.
I am considering dealing with some debt reduction. I am not considering $50,000 debt reduction, but I'm in the process of taking a hard look at whether or not there will be additional debt forgiveness, and I'll have an answer on that in the next couple weeks.
Biden has previously expressed support for cutting $10,000 of student debt through legislation, but that hasn't gone through Congress. The latest reports say Biden is considering executive action of some sort. We're checking in on the student debt problem in the U.S., what impact loan forgiveness could have. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Would this affect you? Do you think it's a good idea to cancel lots of student loan debt, or just targeted, if so, toward who? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Nicholas Hillman is a professor of educational leadership and policy in the School of Education at UW-Madison. Nick, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, we've got a lot of student loan debt here in the United States. Can you put in some context for us how we got to this position of, you know, this large number, $1.7 trillion?
Well, a lot of factors got us here, but some of the history of this is pretty fascinating. The first federal student loans really came out of national defense policy back in the 1950s in the space race and trying to get more people to invest in themselves, but also in, science programs. So loans were a popular way to do it then. And then in 1965, really ramped things up even further. And here we are, 60 years later with basically the same fundamental financing model that we've had for 50 or 60 years federally. And that's a loan-based lending system. And so this is a long time in the making, but also there are a lot of students going to college, and the cost of paying for college has been increasing over that same period of time. And so it's hard to just take out of pocket, the $20,000, $30,000 it might take to pay for college. And so loans play a piece of that financing puzzle and have for a long time.
Now, looking at the possibility of canceling some level of student loan debt, I should point out some has been canceled already. There are some forms of public service loan forgiveness out there, and the Biden administration has canceled debt for people who they found that for-profit universities and colleges basically had ripped them off. Some of this has already happened, right?
That's correct. And additionally, some targeted relief for individuals who are on total and permanent disability. And so there are certainly examples of targeted forgiveness here.
There are a range of policy options, Nick, from don't forgive any student loan debt to forgive all of it. If you had your druthers, what would you like to see as a starting point?
Well, I try to put my clinical, research hat on, and I look at the evidence and I try to really suss it out as best I can and try to be neutral in that respect. And it's hard because it's such a politicized conversation. I think, though, with that in mind, there is strong evidence for a $10,000 debt reduction, debt cancellation policy that I think would hold up to research scrutiny for probably two different reasons. The first reason is that when you look at the students who have borrowed and then defaulted on their loans, these are objectively the ones struggling the most, the ones who never made a payment, got behind on their payments so badly that they defaulted on their loans. Their credit scores are ruined. Their financial situation must be pretty poor. Surprisingly, the individuals who default on their student loans carry about $11,000 in student loan debt as the median. They tend to have lower than average loan debts, largely because they went to college for a little while, didn't get a degree, and now they have debt but no degree, and it doesn't really pay off in the labor market. And so from that side of things, on the research front, there's strong evidence that default is connected to not completing a degree, and that also means you tend to not have a whole lot of debt. And so for that reason, the $10,000 cancellation policy has a research consensus around it. That's one argument for a $10,000 kind of targeted relief. Another, though, is just a wholesale improvement of the loan system as it stands, one that maybe, if there is broad cancellation, would also be really focused on reforming the whole entire loan system altogether. And I'd actually be more of an advocate of reforming the entire loan system altogether, as opposed to, these one-time kind of jubilees.
Where would you start with something like that? Because as you said earlier, it's a big system. It's been around for a long time, has a lot of momentum or inertia, I guess. How do you start to tweak that?
Right. Well, you know, it's not exactly the most exciting part of the conversation, but it is a fundamental one. All of these monthly loan bills come due and are required to be repaid, and they're captured in a student loan data system. And so the point I'm trying to make is that there's a big data infrastructure behind all of this that has not been updated over the years. And so I would start with some technical fixes on the data side to basically streamline these processes in the first place. But that's not going to solve all the problems. I'll just make it more humane, easier to use and to navigate for individuals in repayment, especially those who are struggling in repayment, to have some ease in their life. But another side is on the front end of how do we pay for college in the first place? If we want to have less debt, that means we have to have lower tuition, we have to have more affordable housing, we have to have more financial aid to help students go to college without even relying on loans, or if they do, not to have it be a loan that is going to carry with them for their lives. And so some technical fixes, but some front-end fixes as well, I think would go a long way.
Talking to Nick Hellman from the UW-Madison School of Education, looking at ideas to forgive some level of student loan debt for Americans with some level of debt. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Heard from a couple of callers who couldn't stay on the line. Jane says she wishes that student loan interest rates could go down, if anything. Paying 8% interest, she says, wishes it could be normalized to like 3%. And I know with the moratorium on student loan payments, I believe that's stopped interest for now. But Nick, there has been talk about, you know, the difficulty refinancing a lot of these loans, the higher interest rates. What do you think?
That's right. Some other countries that have similar financing models that rely on loans provide what are called, zero interest payments. And so they have no interest rates. And that's a subsidy that the government would provide for the borrowers. And so that's a very desirable option for people. And the reason why that's important is because some of these repayment plans that borrowers are currently in, we call them income-driven repayment, but they come in a number of flavors like income-based repayment or pay-as-you-earn or repay-as-you-earn, but revised pay-as-you-earn. But anyhow, these models actually accrue interest and interest capitalizes. And so you become quickly owing more than what you originally took out by design. That's the exact way that our federal loan system is designed for these repayment plans. And so certainly fixing those interest subsidies would go, I think, a very long way for making sure that people are making progress on paying down their loans over time. It would be, at least compared to the current situation, it would be an expense, a new expense that would have to be factored in. But I think one that, as we're seeing with this repayment pause, might be broadly desirable.
We also heard from Logan in Portage, who says, as someone who didn't take out student loans, will I get a check? And Nick, I think there's a concern that, you know, for either people who didn't go to college at all or people who paid off their loans, a sense of, well, it's kind of unfair if somebody else is getting their loans forgiven when I didn't take any for whatever reason.
That's right. I mean, that is a conversation that's been coming into the mix. And I've seen a whole range of responses to that. Sometimes people say, well, no, that's okay. And other times you hear the same response we just heard on the call in. And there's a range there. But certainly it's that's where the politics come into this. So as soon as you provide some benefit to an individual group or a broad constituency, there'll be those who feel left out. And I think that that's what the Biden administration is really wrestling with, are the politics of all of this and the optics of this, regardless of the actual material benefit or what actually happens. There's some political commitments, there's some political bases and political third rails, I think, involved in this whole entire conversation that have been pretty unexpected in some ways.
Flipping things around, how much does the fear of student loan debt potentially deter students or limit their ability to go to college?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's real. I think that there are two different parts to this equation, at least. One is the sticker shock. You have, for example, a student who is from a family that maybe earns $20,000, $30,000 a year, and then they see a tuition bill, including their cost of attendance, that is that amount of money, and it's a real thing, a sticker shock, where they say, wait a second, how can I ever expect to pay for something that my family can't even earn in a year? And so that is a real barrier. And that's one reason why we have grants and scholarships to try to remove those barriers. But those grants and scholarships haven't really kept pace. They're not paying enough. And so you have this kind of incremental challenge there on the front end. But at the same time, this is where things get really complicated in the research literature, is that we have found in some of the studies that when students do get access to loans, they end up staying enrolled. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword or a catch-22. I don't know which idiom is best, but you have loans can really help students stay enrolled. So it's kind of a blessing and a curse, I suppose, but the cultural and the personal and the psychological effects of student loans are things that also need to be considered, not just the economic consequences.
In just our last minute, Nick, I'm going to bring up, bring back something you mentioned earlier, dealing with the rising high cost of college and university education. What would even be a starting point to try to tackle that?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think one standard starting point, kind of a the old scholarship and grant program. So providing more financial aid and scholarships and grants that are not loans, they don't have to be repaid. That's one option. Having repayment plans that are not just 0% interest, but also repayment plans that adjust to the student's earnings could be another potential solution. And certainly these windows of forgiveness. Right now, forgiveness is happening on 10-year intervals, or even in some cases, 20 or 25-year intervals for certain programs. And there could be some consideration of having these repayment cancellation events occur maybe more frequently or on a more routine basis, maybe within just 5 years or so. So I guess shortening the repayment horizon, providing more subsidies are two really promising solutions.
Nick, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Nicholas Hillman is professor of educational leadership and policy at the School of Education at UW-Madison, with us today looking at the impact of potential student loan forgiveness from the Biden administration.